You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. Today's show will begin with news of a player deciding to leave the program. It's a player that arrived at Tennessee with big-time expectations, a lot of accolades, and now he's leaving Tennessee having not accomplished what he wanted to, and now Tennessee might have to figure out what it's going to do to replace him. That's Wanya Morris, the former five-star offensive lineman, has entered the transfer portal, and it does not look like he will return to Tennessee. Nothing is for sure, but the expectation right now is that Morris will leave the program. I'm going to take a look at the 2019 class. That was the first full class that Jeremy Pruitt signed. To this point, honestly, I think it's been a massive disappointment, and I think it creates some of the biggest concern about where things are right now with the program moving forward. I know that's probably not what you're looking to start the show with, but I'm going to look at that here in segment number one. And then in the second and third segments of the show, I'm going to talk to Eric Kane, who covers Tennessee for the Sports Animal. He's a former college linebacker himself, and we'll talk about some of the personnel on defense, what stands out for the Vols as they have to replace Bryce Thompson. They do get Matthew Butler back on the defensive line. And then we'll talk about the offense, including the offensive line, which now will be without Wanya Morris. We will do that on today's show. Locked On Vols, it's here 5 days a week. It is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks to everybody who has helped spread the word, who has told other Tennessee fans about Locked On Vols, covering what's going on with UT Athletics. And the news came in the middle of the afternoon on Wednesday that Wanya Morris has entered the transfer portal. He arrived at Tennessee in the 2019 class with big-time expectations. He started most of the season as a freshman and entered his sophomore season with preseason All-SEC recognition. Now, Morris was coming off off-season hip surgery, and he was not healthy throughout most of the 2020 season. He also dealt with not being able to practice a lot during training camp at the start of the season, which was a big setback because of COVID-19 and contact tracing, all that stuff. So I don't think Wanya had much of a chance to be a productive left tackle for Tennessee this past season. He, at the end of the year, was playing more in the jumbo package, not at left tackle for the Vols. But with Tennessee having to replace Trey Smith and Brandon Kennedy, and we'll see if anybody else decides to leave, losing Wanya Morris is no good for Tennessee. I know that to this point, he had not lived up to what the expectations were, but you don't want to lose 6'6", 310-pound offensive linemen. You just don't. Guys that are athletic, guys that have the potential that Wanya does. Remember, eligibility was frozen this year, so he was going to come back as a sophomore with the ability to still grow into a good player. We'll see where he goes and how his career develops, but I can assure you there are a lot of schools that are going to be interested in Morris. And then I started thinking about the 2019 class, which I've brought up on this show in the past, and I've talked about it on Sports 180. To this point, that class, which had a number of very highly touted players and guys that were expected to do a lot, the composite ranked Tennessee's class number 13 in the country, which is good, not great, but good for sure. And to this point, I think the class has been a big disappointment. There is time for that to change. There is time for players to turn things around. But I'm going to run through the class very quickly. And with each name, I'll pause for just a moment, and you think, has he lived up to the expectations? Has he shown that he can play at a high level in the SEC? And I'm going to go in order of highest ranked to lowest ranked in the class. This is according to the composite ranking. This is the 2019 class. Five-star Darnell Wright. Five-star offensive lineman Wanya Morris. He's leaving the program, it looks like. Obviously, he's not lived up to what you want. Linebacker Henry To'oTo'o. He is one of Tennessee's better players from the class, no doubt. Linebacker Kavaris Crouch, he's playing. I don't know that he's living up to the high four-star ranking that he arrived with as the number three athlete in the country. Wide receiver Ramel Keaton, he definitely has not lived up to the hype to this point. What is his future? He did not finish the season with Tennessee. Safety Jalen McCullough, I like his talent. He probably has not lived up to the billing to this point. Running back Eric Gray, I think he's lived up to the hype coming out of high school and then some. Defensive back Tyus Fields, four-star, hasn't really played. Offensive lineman Jackson Lampley, four-star player, to this point hasn't played much. Outside linebacker Roman Harrison was a composite four-star player. I like his potential. He hasn't done a lot to this point. I do like his potential still. Tight end Jackson Lowe isn't at Tennessee anymore. Defensive lineman Savion Williams is not part of the program anymore. Offensive lineman Melvin McBride was never able to play at Tennessee because of a medical situation. Quarterback Brian Maurer, linebacker Aaron Beasley, cornerback Warren Burrell. He's going to factor in this upcoming season, or should. Let's see. Defensive lineman Elijah Simmons, defensive lineman Darrell Middleton. He plays a good amount. He's lived up to what he was expected to, I think, when he signed with Tennessee. Tight end Sean Brown, to this point, hasn't really played. Offensive lineman Chris Okporogene, to this point, hasn't played much. Cornerback Kenny Solomon, wide receiver Gerard Means, he's not a part of the program anymore. That's the 2019 class. Who are the players that have really lived up to what was expected? And this comes back to the conversation of evaluation, but I would also say development. And with some of these guys, it cannot help that they've had multiple position coaches already in their 2 years at Tennessee. They've had multiple strength coaches. That cannot help either with development. Let's see if Tennessee can find some normalcy this offseason for some of these guys. But we might be looking at coaching changes again with a number of these players. The linebackers might have their third coach in 3 years. You have a new offensive line coach coming in to coach Darnell Wright, assuming he's going to be at Tennessee, and then the other players. So for Quavarius Crouch, if he gets another linebacker's coach, that would be his third in 3 seasons. Is that good for him? I would say not. If T. Martin's leaving, for the wide receivers, is that good for them? I would say probably not. If you're talking about development and a lack thereof to this point, and you're looking for more in the future. I'll say again, these guys are only 2 years into their time at Tennessee, so the class should not be written off. There is still time for Jalen McCullough to become a really good defensive back in the SEC. There's still a chance for Henry To'oto'o to become an all-SEC level linebacker. This season, he did not do all that I think he was expected to, but he still is one of the better players in the class for sure. There is still time for someone like Roman Harrison or Jackson Lampley to emerge and play at a higher level. But a 2019 class, the first full class that Jeremy Pruitt signed, a class that arrived with a lot of attention, with a lot of highly touted players at the very top, to this point, Wanya Morris is gone. Ramel Keaton has not done what was expected. Darnell Wright, same deal with him on the offensive line. And if he does stay at Tennessee, the Vols really need him to step up with Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, and now it looks like Wanya Morris leaving the program. Cade Mays coming back helps. And there's some other players who still have plenty of ability. Eric Kane and I are going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But this 2019 class, one that was supposed to help take Tennessee to the next level, this year was their opportunity to step up with so many of Butch Jones players moving on, like Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, Nigel Warrior, Daniel Batuli, and it did not happen. Does that change heading into 2021? Whether Jeremy Pruitt's the coach or not, Tennessee is going to need more out of this class if 2021 and 2022 are going to lead to better results for the program. We'll come back here on the show. I'm going to talk to Eric Kane and get some of his thoughts on the defensive personnel in the next segment. What about replacing Bryce Thompson? What does Tennessee look like up front? I do think there's potential with several of Tennessee's pass rushers. We'll talk about that in the next segment before we get to the offensive line and the offensive approach that Tennessee might be taking. That's coming up right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's show is presented by betonline.ag. We have sports going on all over the place with the NBA and college basketball every single day. The NHL started up on Wednesday night. So you have hockey going on. You have NFL playoffs coming up this weekend, the divisional round. You can get odds on the point spread. You can get odds on the totals. You can get prop bets for players this upcoming weekend. There are all kinds of betting opportunities for you when you go to betonline.ag. If you've been watching sports, if you've hopped on Twitter, if you've been listening to Locked On Bets, which I recommend that you do, and you think, you know what, I don't want to be on the sidelines anymore, you can go to betonline.ag and sign up today for a free account. That's at betonline.ag. And when you do, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I want to welcome to the show Eric Kane, who covers Tennessee football for 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. He's on the radio each morning on the starting lineup, does some writing for VolQuest.com as well. Eric, I appreciate the time. We're going to look at both sides of the ball. We'll get to the offense a little bit later, but I want to start on the defensive side. And there was news a couple of days ago that Sean Schamberger entered the transfer portal. Then news came that he had exited the transfer portal, but I'm still skeptical that he's going to end up at Tennessee in 2021. And then we saw Bryce Thompson Clemson enter the NFL draft. And he, I would say, has been Tennessee's best defensive back over the last few years. What do you think about replacing those guys, especially Bryce Thompson, in the defensive backfield?
Yeah, it's two guys that really haven't played a whole lot of football in 2020. Sean Schamberger missed the first couple games of the season, missed the last couple of games of the season to focus on academics per Jeremy Pruitt, a fancy way of saying opting out. But nonetheless, Bryce Thompson's a guy, too, that you know was injured a lot this year. Hamstring issues, torn pectoral, limited to a lot of third down towards the end of the season. But you know, for Bryce Thompson, he's been Tennessee's best defensive back the last 3 years. Good in man coverage, good on the outside, can cover the slot corner, can play a little safety as well. I think he's a guy that really wasn't a college guy, just wanted to be here to take the necessary steps to get him to where he wanted to be. I thought that he could have really benefited in terms of draft stock coming back and playing well another year. And so right now I think he's looking at a late round to early to be a non-drafted free agent. But nonetheless, he'll latch on with the club as well. But you know, losing those are two guys that have played a lot of football for you, guys that have made some plays for you. But again, you know, Tennessee wasn't very good in 2020, and those two guys weren't on the field. You've got to continue to develop the likes of Warren Burrell on the outside, the likes of Keyshawn Lawrence to come in and step up and play some star and safety, and some other younger guys that Jeremy Pruitt continues to talk about.
Yeah, the development of Burrell and Lawrence to me would be really important for what Tennessee's secondary is able to be. I also wonder, can Tennessee find a transfer? Is there somebody that could come in? But they're not heavy on defensive backs in the 21 signing class. You have Christian Charles, who's enrolling early. Maybe he's able to help right away. He's a good athlete, no question there. But they missed out on Demaryius McGee, who was committed, and Nylon Green went to Georgia. So that to me wonders. That leaves me wondering, okay, how many options do you have that will be added? That's why development of the current personnel is going to be so important.
Yeah, I think so too. And of course, you have Tamari McDonald, who was planning on redshirting last year, but came back, was healthy, started showing out in some of those Sunday night scrimmages, and ultimately found the field there towards the end of the season. The guy that Jeremy Pruitt talked about a whole lot, but you're right. You have Christian Charles, who I think that could be an option. Denico Slaughter started game one of the season. Didn't really see a whole lot of him other than special teams the rest of the way. Where is his development now in terms of, vulnerability being put on the field and having some confidence in there? You still have some guys like, Tyus Fields, who's been there for a couple of years. And, Jalen McCullough is obviously a starter, but he didn't get much better this year as well. And so you've got some options there. Not a heavy dose of it here in this recruiting class. I think the transfer portal certainly could be an option for Jeremy Pruitt, as he still has five spots to fill. And I don't anticipate there being any from the high school, class being added. So I think that could certainly be an option for a unit that has got to improve and play better next fall.
What do you think about what Tennessee has up front on defense? And look at that however you want to, the defensive line, outside linebackers, pass rush. But Matthew Butler coming back helps. What else, though? What do you see with Tennessee up front on defense?
It's not been very good. And, kind of twofold here. Tennessee had the fifth best rush defense in the SEC this year, but, was horrid against the pass. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, that's the secondary. No, it's the defensive line as well. You got to be able to apply pressure consistently on a quarterback to help your back end out. And that's something that Tennessee did not from the internal or the external, the line of scrimmages on the defensive side of the football. Getting Matthew Butler back helps. Not really much less from a stat line. I mean, he's productive, don't get me wrong, but he only had two sacks last year. Getting Darrell Middleton back, you said that he's going to come back, will help as well. Still unclear on, what Aubrey Solomon, Jaquan Blakely, some of those other guys might do as well. But you still have a lot of returners coming back. Elijah Simmons has seen some run. And
Amari Thomas is important, I think.
Amari Thomas, who continue to get more and more playing time as well. Dominic Bailey, a guy that didn't see a whole lot of time. And so some development there. You're bringing in a three and a four star into the defensive tackle positions. Bottom line, you need to get to where you were at the end of 2019 and nowhere near where you were in 2020, because it was a drop off considerably whenever Tracy Rocker left the program. But you got to help. And outside linebacker too, you lost DeAndre Johnson now, who's going to Miami. Kevon Bennett was dismissed early. Those were your top two pass rushers, and they weren't anything great compared to what Daryl Taylor was the year before. You hope that, guys like Tyler Barron, Roman Harrison, who I think has really put in the work to change his body and it's, found the field as well, but you just need to start seeing those results. Morvin Joseph is a guy that I think needs to step up as well. And Tennessee got a little help in that regard with Dylan Brooks, who signed with the Volunteers, who I think can help this time next year. But ultimately, you got some numbers and you got a lot of returners, specifically with the defensive line. but you've got to get production. And that production just simply wasn't there in a mixed bag of Jimmy Brumbaugh, Jeremy Pruitt, and the season that was 2020.
Tennessee is now focusing on 2021. The offense needs to be a lot better. I think everybody recognizes that. The offensive line needs to be better. Quarterback play needs to be better. We're going to come back and talk about that side of the ball and what approach Tennessee might take, what their objective might be on offense in 2021. Eric Kane on that coming up next here on Locked On Vols, which today is presented by rockauto.com, a really cool website, and it's so easy to use, and that's a big part of it. That's the point. rockauto.com is a family business that has served auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com and shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Their catalog is unique, it's remarkably easy to navigate, and they want to be that way so that you can go to the website and you can easily shop for the make, model, and year of your vehicle and then see all the parts that are available for your vehicle. You can choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer, and most importantly, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why to go to a store, spend twice as much for the same parts when you can easily go to rockauto.com? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So there's all this talk about the defensive side of the ball. We need to know what the coaching staff's going to look like. We know that Kevin Steele has been hired this week. Eric, obviously Tennessee has to fix what it was on offense. And maybe part of that fix is going to be Hendon Hooker. He's a quarterback transferring in from Virginia Tech. What do you think about that news? What do you think about Tennessee's offense moving forward as we still wonder exactly what the coaching staff will look like there? But with what we know now, what do you make of Tennessee on offense in 2021?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple of coaching, moves in the weeks that precede. You know, you and I have a conversation right now, one on defense and maybe one or two on offense. But nonetheless, you do have Jim Chaney coming back, as of right now. And so, Hendon Hooker coming in, and that's the style of quarterback that Tennessee brought in this year with Caden Salter and dual threat guys that can really extend plays with their legs. You know, Hendon Hooker is a guy that made a lot of plays at Virginia Tech and looked pretty well at times. He struggled a little bit in 2020, but at the very least, I think he's going to be at the very, very least, he's going to be an excellent insurance policy for a Harrison Bailey next year. I expect Hendon Hooker to come in and contend for a starting job. And I think there'll be a battle. Like they tried to have a quarterback battle last spring, but ultimately was wiped out because of COVID. And I think if Hendon Hooker wins that battle in fall camp, then he's your starting quarterback game one. Am I calling that right now? No, I think Harrison Bailey has the edge. But, Hendon Hooker is a guy with Power 5 experience that knows how to run a similar offense that has done it for a while. And so excited to see what he can do here for the Volunteers. A guy that wanted to be here and a guy – and I mean, Tennessee had to have at least one transfer quarterback – and they got a very athletic one. But overall on offense, you're losing some guys like Ty Chandler, who was a senior anyway. No one expected to even have guys like DeAndre Johnson and Ty Chandler back for the 2021 season a year ago today. But a guy that's going to Chapel Hill now, and you hate to see that because he's been a good Volunteer. He's a home state guy. But bottom line is when Ty Chandler's in the backfield, Eric Gray's not, and Eric Gray's your best option. And so that's not a huge loss for me. You're bringing back a lot of talent in the wide receiver room, but you need to continue to find ways to get the football to Valus Jones Jr. and Jalen Hyatt, two of your faster guys, two of your bigger playmakers who did not get the football as much last year as anyone thought that they should. And so with those two guys returning, those two guys, I expect to be more of a focal point of the offense for Tennessee to find some success. So the pieces are there. Of course, look at the offensive line. Getting Cade Mays to return is huge, but you need to see some more development from the offensive line. So again, we continue to circle around to this development, just, whether it was because of COVID, the lack of practice time. I don't know what it is, but Tennessee was not developed from 2019 to 2020, and that's got to change, or you're looking at a complete rebuild this time next year if Jeremy Pruitt survives until then.
Yep, there will be a new offensive line coach. We wait to see who that will be to replace Will Friend, who is now at Auburn, went to South Carolina, went to Auburn. Trey Smith and Brennan Kennedy have to be replaced, so that would add to the importance of Caden Mays returning. I would also expect that Tennessee is really going to want to run the football with success even more so, especially if Hooker's at quarterback. I don't think there's any question. If Hooker's playing quarterback, they're going to be running more because he'll run more than any of the other quarterbacks Tennessee's had over the last couple of years. And Chandler has to be replaced, but they did sign Cody Brown, Tyon Evans, and Jalen Wright to go with guys coming back, starting with Eric Gray. Am I wrong to think that there might be even more of an emphasis on running the football in 2021?
Well, I think there should, because I think that's where the majority of your talent is. And I know I just spent a lot of time on Jalen Hyatt and Bayless Jones Jr., who isn't it amazing they finally figured out that, oh, you know, maybe Bayless Jones should have the football in his hands. They figured that out the last two games of the season. And I do expect them to continue to get 11-1 the football. But I think that's where your playmakers are in the backfield, and potentially paired up with Hendon Hooker. You know, Eric Gray's phenomenal. He's one of the best players on your team. He's your best offensive weapon regardless. But you know, Tyon Evans is a guy that can step in and help contribute right now. I think Cody Brown is also a guy that can help contribute right now. Of course, we've already seen, you know, like Jabari Small last year, and what he can come in, runs very, very hard and falls forward. So your experience and your playmakers, I believe, rely in the backfield. And hopefully, if this offensive line can continue to develop and take that step forward that we thought it would last year, why not run the football? I know you're losing Trey Smith and Brandon Kennedy, but, you know, as of right now, you're still bringing back Cade Mays, who will be here. Done our ride. Cooper Mays got some playing time early on. And so, K'Ron Calvert is still here as of right now. And Jerome Carvin. Jerome Carvin's probably the best one of the bunch, if we're being honest. And if he's a volunteer in 2021, there's no reason to believe that this unit can't run the ball effectively as well. So I do believe there should be more of an added emphasis on the running game. And then ultimately, you run play action off of that with Harrison Bailey and or Hendon Hooker.
What if the offensive line is not noticeably improved or not any better than it was in 2020?
You might still be looking at some of the same results you saw in 2020 that we just saw now. Not being able to run the football means you can, you know, take guys out of the box. That way it confuses the quarterback and makes it harder for Harrison Bailey and or whoever's under center. And so I just think it all – I sound so 1990s when I say this, and I get it, but I think an effective offense really starts with the running game to open things up, because Tennessee is not an air raid. Tennessee's offense is not what Steve Sarkisian's running at Alabama. You're not going to see that. And so, you know, for Tennessee, where it's at right now, specifically with Harrison Bailey and his progression, running the football is going to be your best friend. So if you're unable to run the football, I think it's going to be that much harder for Harrison Bailey to step up and take that step that we expect him to. Maybe he can, you know, regardless, but it'll certainly help him out to have a nice run game to his aid.
Yeah, pound the rock. That was the motto in the 90s. Bring it back maybe for 2021.
Yeah, let's see what I'm sure fans are rolling their eyes when we say that, but hey, it is what it is.
Well, but the reason I brought it up is because that to me is what Tennessee, again, there's an assumption here with the conversation, Tennessee staff led by Jeremy Pruitt, but that seems to be what Jeremy Pruitt's going to want to do. His boss is Philip Fulmer. I imagine Philip Fulmer likes that idea. So we'll see. And again, who plays quarterback affects this conversation. You're going to be more run heavy with Hooker because that's a big part of his game than with Harrison Bailey, who obviously doesn't run it quite as much and will be more pass oriented. But either way, with either quarterback, I think it starts with Eric Gray, and it'll start with those guys around him. And the conversation should always start with the offensive line. If your offensive line is not good, well, then the rest of your offense is not going to be able to reach its potential. That'll be a part of the focus as the off-field conversation continues. I know you're talking about that on the starting lineup each day. Eric Kane with the Sports Animal. Anything else to plug, Eric, before I let you go?
Recruiting updates, VolQuest.com. A lot of uncertainty right now with the Tennessee coaching staff, but recruiting is 24/7. So we've got all those updates there and some stories I'll drop on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com. Kevin Steele, I wrote one on him yesterday. And, as we continue to wrap up this investigation, I'll have a couple stories on that as well.
Eric Kane right here on Locked On Vols. Thanks, Eric.
I appreciate it, Josh.
And I appreciate you being here on today's show, as it began with news that isn't good for the Vols, but not all has been bad. Cade Mays is coming back to Tennessee. Matthew Butler's coming back to Tennessee. Bayless Jones announced he's returning at wide receiver. We all recognize Tennessee has to be better on offense. That starts up front to me on the offensive line. If the Vols aren't good up front, it doesn't really matter what kind of impact Hendon Hooker is able to make, because it's going to be limited, at least in the potential, if they're not good up front. So they need to be better there, but they also need to be better at quarterback. They need guys to be able to make more plays. Tennessee needs to score more points. We can put it that simply to close out the show. On tomorrow's show, I'll be talking Tennessee football. We'll see if there are any program developments in the next 24 hours, and I'll talk Tennessee basketball. As right now, Tennessee is still planning to play Vanderbilt on Saturday. We'll see if that's the case. I'll be talking Tennessee basketball either way on Friday's show of Locked On Vols. It's here 5 days a week. Thanks to everybody who has helped spread the word, who has left a rating and review for the show on Apple Podcasts. That's a big help. It's available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for being here. I'll see you tomorrow on Locked On Vols.